Lovely to see you all this morning. We're still looking a little bit sparse on the ground, whether a few people have forgotten to put their clocks forward by an hour. It's very possible, isn't it? But great to see you this morning. Special welcome to visitors among us. So the church has gathered to worship her God. The church has gathered to worship her God this morning. So we're going to have a good morning this morning. Just a couple of little notices before I outline the morning. For those of you who don't know me, I'm Jeremy, one of the deacons in the church here. And just to say that there's no meetings next weekend. The church is away, kind of building and bonding together at Hebron Hall, church weekend away, so no meetings next weekend. That's no meeting here at Somervale in the morning and no meeting in the evening at the chapel. But there is a meeting this evening at the chapel, and that's going to be at 6 p.m. at the chapel. A slight change to what was originally advertised. We're going to have Matt H. sharing with us tonight, and Matt is going to be sharing on storytelling, so the art of storytelling. Fascinating subject. Matt has got a real gift of sharing really important gospel truths in a diverse and creative way, and just going to really look forward to him sharing on that tonight and storytelling what God is saying, speaking into our lives, and what he's speaking through us to others through our various stories. So that's going to be really good. This morning, we are concluding our Sabbath Rest series. So it's week three of the Sabbath Rest series, and Linda is going to be speaking a little bit later on time out with God. Now, I was very fortunate last month. I had some time away, a retreat time. It's something I do each year. And I had some time at the middle of February where I had some time out with God. And it was essentially, it was a silent retreat, which I shared with about three other people. So there were four of us in total. And there were some services, but then there was kind of silent prayer in the chapel afterwards, meditative prayer. There were meals were taken in silence. We all had tea at 4 o'clock in the afternoon where we all sort of caught up and chatted with one another. But what was really interesting was come the end of the week, I was the first one to leave on the Friday, and one of the other retreat folks, one of the chaps came up to me, gave me a big hug. And then the ladies came up and we all sort of had like a group hug and a chat. And it really felt as if somehow in this journey in prayer and seeking God together, we'd actually grown closer to one another. So as we'd actually taken time out to be with God, perhaps for ourselves in a way, God had brought us closer to one another. And I think that's something that he does. As we take time out with God, as we seek God and draw closer to God, so God draws us closer to one another. So this morning, this isn't like an introspective thing about time out with God. It's something that really affects our relationships, affects all of our lives, and helps us to be more fruitful out there in the world. It's a scripture from Isaiah 30, verse 15. The Lord speaking to Israel says this: "In returning and rest, you shall be saved. In quietness and confidence shall be your strength." So before I just pray and commence this morning, just to say that Rachel and Andy and the guys behind me are leading us in a slightly different style of worship this morning called cappella, but it's very much worship. So the invitation is to join in, it's to engage, it's to be open to the Holy Spirit this morning. That's really, really important. And as we go through this morning, what we really want is that people engage with God. This isn't about an agenda to plow through, as Matt Coombs prayed in our meeting prayer this morning. This is an opportunity, an invitation from the Holy Spirit just to yield to God, to engage with God, and to be open to a fresh encounter really with him this morning. So Father, we just thank you for this opportunity to meet and worship you this morning in spirit and in truth. Father, just come and be among us. Come and just refresh those who are weary. Come and just draw us nearer to you. Help us to engage with you, Lord. Father, be among us and help this to be a time of renewal, refreshment, worship, and fresh encounter with you this morning. Come and be among us, living God, in Jesus' name. Amen. Father God, we just thank you so much for Linda. We just thank you that, Lord, she's a woman who comes to you and doesn't mess about. Thank you, Father, that she's a woman who just really desires your heart and really seeks you with all of her heart. Father God, I just pray that you bring her peace as she shares this morning. just pray that there will be a sense of your authority and anointing on her words. And Lord, help this not just be information that is shared with us, but help it be about transformation, about how we respond to what Linda shares. So Lord, gift and grace her now as she shares. And Father, help us have a real openness to you and to encounter with you through what Linda shares. We thank you for her integrity. We thank you for her gift of teaching. We thank you for her leadership among us. Just bless her now as she shares, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Okay, this morning we're looking at the third and the last in the series of Sabbath rest. And we've looked at that over the past couple of weeks. Matt shared 2 weeks ago. And he shared three main aspects of Sabbath rest. The first one was it's biblical. There's a biblical basis for Sabbath rest. We look at how God created the world. And in 6 days, he created the world. But on the seventh day, he chose to rest. And he chose to rest not because he was tired, but because he was showing us a model. He was showing us something that's important for us to get hold of. We heard about it being a commandment. And we see it as the fourth commandment, which says, remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. And as Matt shared, what really struck me was the fact when he said, you know, we can look at the other aspects of the commandments and we would never break them. But somehow it feels okay to break the Sabbath rest one. And actually, it's not okay. We've got to look at why God put that in, and it's actually for our benefit. As Matt shared, it's about a gift. He's given us this gift of time, of space, of being able to breathe and take that space with him. It's a time for us to appreciate God and to enjoy him. It's that invitation to stop what we're doing and to take a different view of something. Sometimes we're so in something and going through it that we don't step back and see it from a different perspective. We can be in such a hurry to get on to the next thing, and we miss the importance of what's in front of us. Sabbath rest was a day made for us, for our sake, for our benefit, for our strengthening, for our restoring, and our refreshment. Jonathan, last week, he started off by saying, if you don't remember anything else, remember that you matter to God. And that is one of the most important things that we can really get hold of. We matter to God, and that's why he has put Sabbath rest as a fundamental part of our Christian walk. Jonathan spoke about how we can be so busy, and our busyness drives us, and it's a striving, and we feel important. We feel we're succeeding because we're so busy. We can find our identity in our busyness, and that's not what God wants us to do. He wants us to find our identity in him. He wants us to stop and find peace in him. And not to stop because we've done everything, but to stop in the midst of everything and look up and go, you are God and we are not. Now, I stand up here this morning not as an expert in this whole thing, but I have to say I'm on a journey in it, and I'm really enjoying the journey. Last summer, God spoke to me quite specifically, and he gave me, I would like to say he gave me a gentle nudge. If the truth be known, he gave me a mighty kick up the backside, and it took three significant people who speak into my life to stop me and say, you need to stop, you need to be resting more, you need to take Sabbath rest. And up to that point in time, I hadn't really seen it as important. I thought, well, how can I take rest? I'm a single mom. I've got two kids. I'm a carer for one of my children. I'm working, you know, in the church setting as well. I'm doing quite a lot. How can I take time out? And yet God was saying, no, you need to take this time out. You can't keep going the way that you are going. I'm a person who likes lists, and I like ticking things off lists. And I recognize that no matter how much I did stuff, the list, I don't know if you find this, the list doesn't get any shorter. So you just add on more things at the bottom. So you never get to a point of going, okay, I finished that, now I can stop. We don't have that. I don't work that way. So I now put God into my list. Now that sounds awful in one respect, but he's in my diary. So that I take time out with him. Because God showed me that although all that I was doing might look commendable and good and necessary, it wasn't what he has for me. And that actually there's a really good reason why we need to stop and rest. So God was asking me to find that place, that sustainable way, that rhythm of life where I take time out with him. So I have chosen to take a Monday, and a Monday morning in particular is my time out with God. And I know myself, and I know that if I stayed in the house, I would look around the house and find things to do and think, I must do that and must get that done. Da, da, da. So what I've done is I've cleared out my rather ramshackle greenhouse, which actually I don't think I'd ever cleared out since I'd moved in. And it's still got a few plants and things in it. But there's a table and a chair in there. And I go and sit in there. Regardless of the weather, I can be going out with coats, hats, blankets, hot water bottles. But I'm determined to go out to that place because it's my little sanctuary. It's my space with God. And for me, it has been absolutely life transforming. And I can't tell you how much that space and that time now means to me. Now, that's how I have begun to find a rhythm in my life to taking significant time out with God. That is not for you. You will find your own rhythm. There will be things in your life that God will show you, ways of being, of how you connect with him that is your form of Sabbath rest. It will be different from mine. But what I want to look at this morning is how Jesus took Sabbath rest, what that looked like for him. Before we just look at him, very briefly, I want to look at the Pharisees. Because the Pharisees, they really recognized the importance of Sabbath rest. So much so, they put rules around the rules, around the rules, around the rules, to make sure that they didn't actually break Sabbath. So when Jesus kind of waltzes in, and on Sabbath, he heals somebody. On Sabbath, he picks corn and eats it. The Pharisees are mad. They are really angry. But Jesus says to them, you have made Sabbath into yet another thing people have to do. Another set of rules, another thing to worry about. You've made the blessing of relaxing into a curse of worrying. Mark 2 says, Jesus said the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. That's so significant. The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. Again, we see God giving us this gift of Sabbath. See, Jesus, in his 3 years of ministry, managed to change the whole world. And he still took Sabbath within that. If Jesus can change the whole world in 3 years and still take Sabbath, do you not think we need to be looking at whether or not we have this as part of our lifestyle too? We never see Jesus hurried. He was inundated by people all the time, all of them with urgent needs. Events happened quickly for Jesus. They tumbled one after another. But yet, Jesus found a place of rest. In Mark 1, if you read through Mark 1, it's quite interesting. It's one day in the life of Jesus, and actually it's a Sabbath day. And it says that he went from preaching in a synagogue early in the morning. He then cast out a demon, went to a friend's house and had to heal their mother-in-law. He then ends up with says the whole town end up at his house at sundown, looking to be healed and looking for teaching in one day. And quite a lot of that would not have been stuff that Jesus had put in his diary to do. Maybe to teach in the synagogue, yes, but the rest of it may just have happened. And it's all this need that's coming to Jesus. And you kind of think, if our lives looked like that and we sustained that, we would be looking at stress, burnout, anxiety. How on earth did Jesus do it so he didn't get to that place? Well, the key is in the next verse. It said, but after this one day, very early in the morning, while it was still dark, he departed and went out to a desolate place, and there he prayed. After ministering to others and before pouring himself out again into other people, he left everyone and took time out to be with God. It's a pattern we see repeated over and over and over again in the Gospels. Jesus modeled rest. He modeled it physically, emotionally, mentally, and spiritually. He took time out to be alone with his Father. He was intentional about that part of his time. Much else of what he did kind of happened, but he was very intentional about these times out with his Father. And we read as well that when Jesus heard about John the Baptist's death, now John the Baptist was his cousin, he was a close friend, and when he heard about that, it says Jesus withdrew by boat to a solitary place, and he took his disciples with him. He needed that place to grieve. He needed that time out to just be alone and be with his Father. But it says that what happened is the crowds followed him. And he has compassion on them. And he sees them. And he heals them. And then he performs the miracle of the 5,000 in that place of still feeling grief for his friend. And then again, it says this, and scripture tells us, immediately Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side while he dismissed the crowd. And after he had dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray alone. He didn't manage to get it earlier, but he was determined to have that time out with God. And I just find it interesting that with the crowd still having all their needs, he needs that time with his Father. You know, he could have still seen all that need and gone, okay, I'm going to meet all your needs first. But he didn't rush around to try and fix everything or everyone. He could have, because he was God, but he chose not to. His highest priority of his life was to spend time with his Father. He needed to hear his Father's voice, to understand God's direction and rest in God's presence. And we need this too. We need to put this into being a fundamental part of our walk with God. Jesus incorporated rhythms of rest into his life. But he didn't just show us how to rest. He said something even more amazing. And I love these verses that come from Matthew 11. And it says, and this is the Message verse, and it says, come to me, get away with me, and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. Jesus doesn't just say, go and rest. He says, come to me and find rest. He doesn't just suggest rest. He is rest. Jeremiah 31 says, I will refresh tired bodies and I will restore tired souls. Resting with Jesus refreshes our mind, our body, and our spirit. Sabbath can be a day that we take out. It can be a time, but it's also about being present in the moment and stopping to enjoy the world God has given us. It's about being mindful of God. He made this world for us to explore and wonder at. Psalm 19 says, the heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of your hands. Day after day they pour forth speech. Night after night they display knowledge. There is no speech or language where their voice is not heard. We need to take that time out to focus on what God has put around us. We need to praise God for all he has given us. You know, part of Sabbath rest is worship. It's taking that time to stop from all we're doing, to lift our gaze and to be thankful for all that God has given to us. It's a time to dwell on the passages in Scripture that talk about the greatness and the beauty and the majesty of who our God is. And from that place of loving him, he brings his rest and his love onto us. He has made each one of us. He has created you. He loves you. He sings over you. He desires relationship with you. You know, for me, this was something I had to choose to do. So on my Monday mornings, I chose first thing to go for a walk because that centered me on looking out. I find God in creation. I love seeing creation. I love seeing God there. So for me, it was a real discipline to not think about myself and all that I was doing and ask God into what I was doing, but to forget all that. I put that to the side and went, God, this walk is about you. So I'm going to lift my gaze to you. By the time I came back, my view of my own stuff had changed. It didn't really seem quite so important because I'd put God first. But can I just say, it's not something that happens quickly. You know, you don't become a marathon runner overnight. It takes time. It takes training. It takes that effort. And it's the same with taking time out with God. Sometimes you might think, oh, this isn't for me. I'm not good at this stuff. If it's just 5 minutes, if it's just stopping on the walk that you're going outside and seeing something beautiful and going, thank you, God. That is the start of something so important. And it may be that when you take this time with God, that you receive a really amazing word from God. The likelihood is you probably won't, because that's not really what it's about. Richard Rohr says, goallessness is your goal. The journey is the destination. Make a real effort to put aside all noise, both the outer and the inner. Find a place where your mind can be idle and forget its concerns. Descend into silence and worship the Father in secret. Sabbath is a time to relax, to enjoy God without a sense of guilt of all the things that are piling up that still need to be done. Forget about it. Spend that time with God. Now, along with this spending time with God, we see Jesus taking time out for physical rest. In Mark 4, it describes Jesus calming the storm. And it says, that day when evening came, he said to his disciples, "Let's go over to the other side." Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along just as he was in the boat. And what we know happens is Jesus falls asleep. Jesus sees the crowd. There are still people needing healed. There are still demons to be cast out. There are still lessons to be taught. But he knew it was time to stop and rest. He didn't allow other people's pressing needs and their desire for his presence to drive his activity. Do we? Do we sometimes say, but so-and-so's expecting me to do this. I need to do this for them. And that might have its place, but we need to make sure God is center. What we don't see with Jesus is somebody that's stressed or anxious. You know, when we're feeling pushed and pulled in lots of different directions, that's when anxiety starts. But we don't see Jesus in that place. Why? It's because not only did he find rest in his Father, but he knew rest within himself. He'd found that place of peace by spending time with his Father. And he also knew what the Father was asking of him, and that was his focus. John 5 says, "Very truly I say unto you, the Son can do nothing by himself. He can only do what he sees his Father doing, because whatever the Father does, the Son also does." That was where he based his life. So in a demanding crowd, he steps onto a boat which sails into a storm, and he sleeps. He found peace in himself, despite the circumstances which were anything but. So if Jesus allowed himself to stop and rest in the middle of so much need and so much chaos, don't you think we can give ourselves permission to stop and rest too? We are not loved because of what we do, but for who we are. And that's why we are called human beings and not human doings. See, to deny ourselves physical rest is kind of a form of pride. We can become tired, we can become irritable, lose concentration, it affects our health, affects relationships, and we stop enjoying what's in front of us. My son, Ian, is very good if I'm slightly irritable. He goes, his first thing he always says to me is, "Mum, are you tired?" And it's like, "No, I'm not tired, I'm fine." But but that sense of he recognizes when tiredness affects how I am. God invites us to take care of and pay attention to our own physical bodies that he's entrusted to us so that we will be well. The world that we are in does not revolve around us. It revolves around God. And Jonathan shared about that last week, about how we can feel everything's dependent on us, that we must be doing the right thing, the pushing and the pulling and the watching and the waiting. But actually, we need to let that go. A definition of Sabbath I read was this: imitating God so that we stop trying to be God. Our part is to bring him glory. He is inviting us to slow our pace, to savor his gifts, to enjoy the present moment without worrying about what's not been done. And as we do this, we find space for things that are life-giving to us. We feel energized. We feel creative. It opens us to new ideas, and our soul finds rest. We need to give ourselves permission to take care of ourselves, to add in that space and that time and that enjoyment in our lives, to make time to do the things that bring you life, that fill up your tanks, to go for a walk, to read that book that you've always wanted to take a bath, to lie on the ground and stare at the sky. If that's what is a place that you find God. And your life will be richer when you put God into all these things. It's not about the should and should nots. It's a place to stop the mundane and enjoy and play and have fun. So if you love to cut the grass, do it on your Sabbath day off. If that's the place where it gives you time to think and to process and to pray, do it. If to do that is a real chore, don't do it on the day that you're resting with God. Mark Buchanan says Sabbath's golden rule is to cease from what is necessary and embrace that which brings life. See, Jesus enjoyed life. He took time out, as we've said, to spend time connecting with his Father. He took time out to rest, but he also made time to connect with other people. Thomas Merton says, if the purpose of having this time is merely to run away, to escape, then it will do me no good. He says, we have to remember that we look for solitude in order to grow there in love for God and in love for others. We do not go into the desert to escape people, but to learn how to find them. We do not leave them in order to have nothing more to do with them, but to find out the way to do them the most good. But this is always a secondary end. The one end that includes all others is the love of God. Throughout the Gospels, Jesus spent time with those he loved. He spent weeks with his disciples, traveling, ministering, performing miracles. But they had fun together. And the reason we know this is because in Matthew, Jesus is described as this, a glutton and a drunkard and a friend of tax collectors and sinners. He went to weddings and provided a vast amount of wine. He visited his mother and his brothers. He hung out with his friends Lazarus and Mary and Martha. He was a man that not only understood the importance of spending time with his Father, but also those that God had put around him. And he modeled it throughout his time on earth. We have to be intentional about connecting with others, including our spouses, our children, our friends. It's so easy to allow our work, and even work for the Lord, to keep us from purposely connecting with those that we love. Sabbath rest is a time to invest in our families and loved ones. He gave us our families. He enjoyed parties and he's into fun. There's a story of a man who turns to Martin Luther and announced, today, you and I shall discuss the governance of the universe. Luther turned to him and said, no. Today, you and I shall go fishing and leave the governance of the universe to God. Sabbath rest is a time to enjoy the amazing relationship we have as children of God and co-heirs with Christ, and to stop and give thanks and enjoy the family and friends he's put around us. So to sum up, God is calling all of us to fully rest in him, to enjoy spiritual, physical, and mental rest. Sabbath rest is a command, yes, but it's a gift. It's a day, but it's also an attitude. It can be a time in the week, but it's a disposition of the heart. It's a way of being. It's a discipline, and it isn't always easy, but the rewards are amazing. They can be life-changing, and I can vouch for that from my greenhouse days. When we find Sabbath rest, we walk in obedience to God, and life becomes richer. And my prayer for you is that you find your rhythm with God at the center. Thank you.
Thanks very much, Linda. It's fantastic. Just incredibly rich word. Highlighting how Jesus did Sabbath and drawing on people as diverse as Thomas Merton and Richard Rohr. So fantastic word of God. And I just feel it's important we just let that settle within us. But just had a sense, actually, there may be a couple of groups of people that before the worship band come up again, just for us to, just who God maybe wanted to touch and minister to this morning. One of those groups, I just had a sense that there may be some people here who are in the same sort of place that Linda was in, really, who are saying, do you know what, Lord, I'd love to have this time out with you, but I am just so busy, it's what do I drop? Almost had a sense that you were saying, you know, I've got four children, I've got a mortgage, I've got an ill relative, I've got all this going on. It's how can this happen? How can it be real for me? And I just felt the Lord reminded me of the feeding of the 5,000 and the little boy who just brought his loaves and his fishes. You know, the fish that he brought, they wouldn't have been like great big tuna or trout or anything like that. They'd have been more like just little anchovies. And just how this little boy brought what he had to Jesus, and Jesus just divided it, multiplied it among so many. And I just sense like the Holy Spirit is just saying to you this morning that if that's you, he's saying, bring me what you have, bring me what you have, and I can breathe upon it and I can multiply it. Whether that's 5 minutes in the morning at first or a few minutes in the evening at first, just set that time aside, bring me what you have, and just see what I can do with it. See how I can just multiply that and breathe upon that. And so if that's you, when well, another group as well, but if that's you, it'd be great to pray for you. When the band come up in a minute, the prayer ministry team will just dot themselves around the side of the room. And there was another group, and I just felt this other group was saying, do you know what, I've got time, I can spend time with God, I've got the time to give, but I just don't know quite how to do it. I just don't know quite how to begin in this intimacy with Jesus. It's like, how do I pray? How do I get started? It all feels very dry and that I'm kind of hitting my head against a brick wall. I just felt like Jesus just wanted to touch you this morning and just minister to you, just to draw you into that sort of deeper intimacy in your time with him. Maybe great to talk to somebody later on, perhaps this morning or through the week, somebody you respect in God. There are no experts in prayer. The further you go in prayer, the more you realize there are no experts, exactly as Linda said this morning. But if it's you this morning, if you're just sensing that you just want breakthrough in your time out with God, in your time with God, it would be great to pray for you as well. So if any of those two groups, so if you're in the first group, that you just don't feel that you've got time, you're feeling burnt out, you don't know where the time's going to come from, be great to pray for you and just pray that you just offer to Jesus what you have and see him multiply that. And if you're in that second group, just that group that just says, I don't really know where I'm going in prayer, I don't really know where I'm going with time out with God, I just sense Jesus is just drawing you into a deeper intimacy this morning, and he just wants to touch your life and really just breathe freshly into your prayer time and into your time out with him. So Rachel and Andy are going to come up again. The prayer ministry team are going to go to the dot themselves around the sides of the room and stand, and we're just going to worship together cappella style.
as we were.